Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I am so delighted to be with you once again, as we've been doing for over 30 years now, and that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then we have our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving the New Jersey and Philadelphia areas. And so we're just so delighted to come together so that we can all just sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. I'm real excited because today we're starting a new series. I like to do these monthly series, all of them on the portraits of God. That's how we get to know His character, His heart, His ways, as I see all of Scripture as just a collection of beautiful, in-depth portraits of God. And we're going to pick up one that I mentioned last week and really go deeper. He is our fruitful oneness. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be starting over in Ephesians chapter 2 as we get ready to take a journey in discovering the deepest depths of the Lord as our fruitful oneness. And as you're making your way to that passage, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. And when you get on that landing page, just click on the gray box that says Broadcasts. And then the next landing page, just click on the box that says Portraits of God, and you're there. And by the way, on that first landing page, the other gray boxes also have some other tools to help you hear God. There are articles that I've written for local publications. There are outlines and infographics on topical character qualities in Scripture, also the hot topics that we have in life and in Scripture. And then you'll also see a video box, a box that has that word there, and it'll take you to the videos I've done on Portraits of God, 3-minute devotionals. So all kinds of stuff are there just to help you hear God. And that's at markpg.org. Now, for today, as we get ready to begin our journey in discovering how the Lord is indeed our fruitful oneness, we're going to have 10 takeaways over the next few weeks. And so, as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I'm just so grateful for the privilege we have to come together just to sit at Your feet. Lord, You love to speak to us heart to heart. I pray that our hearts will be open to receive all that You have for us, especially as we're going really deep and looking at the mystery of how we are one in You, one with Christ. Wow, can't wait to dive in. And so, Lord, we just pray that You will indeed enable us to receive all that You have for us today, and we're so grateful for the privilege of being at Your feet. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, let me just kind of share briefly how we got here. If you have been able to tune in the last several weeks, you know that we were doing a portrait of God that I called He is Our Deeper Dive. And in the analogy, which is by the way, it's based on Psalm 42, verse 7, you know, deep calls to deep. When we have that deep thing going on in us, deep, deep, deep hurts or thoughts or bewilderment or confusion or frustration or anger, no matter how deep our valleys, grief, whatever they are, He is deeper still. And so last month, we went through a series in discovering the five layers in discovering the depth of the Lord Jesus Christ, kind of like diving into the sea and going for a deep dive. And we talked about, we have our point of entry is how He is our merciful Savior. And then secondly, the next layer down is how He is our gentle teacher. And then the third, how He is our gracious Master. And then the fourth and fifth, the Bible calls mysteries. Number four was how He is our loving Bridegroom. And of course, we cover all of these one at a time in those different messages about how he is our deeper dive. And last week we finished up on how at level 5, the deepest of all, the most mysterious of all, the most difficult to understand is how he is our fruitful oneness. And so I gave you a peek at that. We took a deep dive in the context of that deeper dive series, but now this fifth level is so deep, it deserves its own deep dive. And so this month, we will be covering how he is indeed our fruitful oneness. So let me take you over to Ephesians chapter 2, as I mentioned a moment ago, in verses 4 through 6, where I want you to see, if you're a note taker, here's the first of the 10 takeaways, how we are, here we go, one from death to life in Christ. He is our fruitful oneness, and he yearns for us to know that we are one from death to life in Christ. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and following. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whoa, now that is powerfully packed. There are so many great truths here. It's showing how we are one from death to life in Christ. From the moment we get saved, we leave that state of being dead and we become alive together with Christ. And so I really want to drill deep here so that we can really understand and appreciate the supernatural things that God is doing here. So, first of all, we have to talk about how it is that we are dead. I mean, we don't feel dead. We're walking around and we're talking and we're experiencing life and yada, yada, yada. Well, yeah, we're physically, we're alive. But let me take you all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve fell, when they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, here's the thing about that. As you remember, God warned them. They said, now of the trees of the garden you shall eat, but of the tree of the garden of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now that you shall not eat. So it's like you have all this fruit you can eat, all the vegetation here, but there's one tree and one tree only. Do not eat of its fruit. And you know the story. The enemy, in the form of a serpent, beguiled Eve and Adam, and they both ate of the fruit. And God said, if you do eat of that tree, he warned them, on that day you shall surely die. So when we read the story, they eat the fruit, but by all physical laws, they did not die. They didn't have a heart attack and fall on the ground and cease to exist. But God said, you're going to die. So something in them did die. But what was it? Well, here's where we get into the nature of man. We are tripart beings. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. Body, we understand, it's our physical, what I call earth suit. It's our temporary issued earth suit that God gave us. It's something that enables us to be able to be physically present on a physical planet. So we have these temporary issued earth suits called our body. So we know that one, that's easy. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now we know about mind, it's what you think. We know about your emotions, it's what we feel. The will is just your yes and no switch. Yes, I will, no, I won't. It's your decision-making thing. And that is heavily impacted by your mind and by your emotions, by your soul, and even with your body. Let's be honest, when we're really, really tired, when we're really, really sick, boy, the decisions that we make are sometimes very different than if we were feeling well, all right? So let's make sure we got that. So We are spirit. We're a body. We're soul. That's mind, will, and emotions. But then we are spirit. What is the spirit? The spirit is that third part of us that was designed to interact connected to God. Interact by being in direct connection to the spirit of God. Our spirit becoming connected to his spirit. Linking up. Now, when they were born, they had all three, but that is what died. Their spirit died that day in their sin. We are dead in our trespasses and sin, it says in Ephesians 2, a little bit earlier. We are dead in our transgressions. And then when they committed that original sin, then it got passed on to our DNA, the state of our spirit being dead. Now, the mystery is great, but this is what the Bible teaches us. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. And the only way we can be made alive is to become one with Christ. He made us alive together with Christ, the scripture says. And how? It's by grace. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners and dead in our trespasses, Christ died for us that we might be able to say yes to his invitation to become one with him, in covenant with him, born again, saved. The Bible puts it in so many different ways. And for us to be able to do that, a miracle has to happen. Our blinded eyes need to become opened. Our hearts need to become open. And we need to see the reality of our dead state and say, Lord, I am doomed unless I become one with you. Isn't that marvelous? Let's read the passage again now, understanding this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, that just blows me away. Why were we yet sinners? Why were we yet dead? We were just doomed. We're just a serious, serious mess. But because of his rich mercy and his love and his grace, oh my goodness, we begin to see that we are the evil stepsisters, not the Cinderella in the story, and yet he still wants us to say yes to marry him. Isn't that profound? I mean, it just blows me away. And when we start to grasp the depth of his mercy and his grace, where he is loving us and saving us, even when we absolutely do not deserve it, it just makes us feel more and more one with him to accompany the reality that we are one with him. Let me see if I can illustrate that for us. You know, there's a classic book written back in the 1800s, made into countless films and stage plays. It's the classic book, Les Miserables. And in Les Miserables, Jean Valjean is the protagonist, the hero of the story, but he doesn't begin as a hero. He's one who has been imprisoned for 19 years because he stole some food to feed his starving family in the ravaged French country in which he was living. And he became embittered and hardened. But then he was released after 19 years. And when he was released and he went and tried to find a place to live and work and all, well, in that day you had yellow passports or ID cards, I guess is what they had in those days. And so whenever he'd go to an inn to try to stay, they would reject him. They don't want an ex-con in there. But the local bishop and his wife, when he came to their door, welcomed him in. And he was able to spend the night and all, but he decided, well, old habits kicked in. And in desperation and in anger and in bitterness against society and all of the above, you know, he stole some silver from the bishop and his wife, and he slipped out in the middle of the night, but he got caught by the authorities. And when the authorities brought him back to the bishop's house and said, we caught this man, he stole your silverware. The bishop looked at Jean Valjean, and he looked at the officials, and he said, and he looked back at Jean Valjean, and he said, "Hey, you forgot the candlesticks. Let me go get them for you." And he went inside and got silver candlesticks, and he brought it back out. He said, "Here you go. Let's put it in with the silverware. Now, let that help you have a great start in this life." And off he went, stunned. What? He could have told the truth that I actually stole this, but he gave me even more instead. And that act of overwhelming grace, because it was totally undeserved, and love and extravagance and generosity totally transformed that man's heart, made him think totally differently than he ever had before. And it changed his life. And the story, it's an epic story, goes on about the ebbs and flows of all of that, how he became a successful businessman and mayor of a small town. But of course, in this life, you will have many tribulations and many more were to come, but it's a marvelous story. But I want to focus on that first part. What was it that absolutely changed his perspective on himself and on life and on the possibilities ahead? It was grace by the bishop and his wife, that even though he had stolen from them, they gave him any more, even more, that he might come to his senses and be a different man. My friend, that's a great metaphor of salvation. Jean Valjean was dead in his life, in his relationship with society, in his role, just habitually going to be continuing that pattern until an overwhelming act of grace and mercy and love touched his heart and changed his life. You see, the Lord is our fruitful oneness, and we are one from death to life in Christ. When we receive Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, as our bridegroom, we become one with Him from death to life in Christ. Now, that's not all that we get in our journey of discovering the depths of how the Lord is our fruitful oneness. Because not only, number one, are we one from death to life in Christ, but number two, we are one with Christ in eternal life. Now, I listed this one second because most of us know that when we do get saved, we get eternal life. In fact, we tend to just make a beeline for that part. Oh, we got our ticket to heaven. We don't have to go to hell because now we're one with Christ. Well, let me just take you a little deeper than that. We are one with Christ in eternal life. Let me take you to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. Now, we're already death, but it's going to be ongoing death if we don't get saved. Wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ. When we are one with Christ, we get all that He has and all that He is in our salvation. Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the reason that we get eternal life is that when we marry someone and to enter a covenant relationship with Christ, to get saved, we enter the covenant. And the spirit of covenant is both parties looking at each other, eye to eye, heart to heart, and saying, "Everything I have, all that I am, I give to you." Now, the thing is, when we come to Christ, remember I said we were the evil stepsisters in rebellion and against God and all, and yet He still sees what He can make out of us. When we come into this covenant relationship or marriage, we bring in nothing but liabilities. But Jesus brings in nothing but assets, including eternal life. That's part of His estate. It's part of who He is and what He has to offer us. And it is a free gift of God. By the way, it's a free gift, but it's not cheap. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his very life. He had to die that it might be possible for us to have eternal life. Now, let me just kind of take this one step further to see if I can do my best to help us capture the wonder of what it is to have eternal life. Now, if I were to ask you to draw a diagram on a piece of paper or on a whiteboard of what eternal life is, you know, and we'll put a dot on the thing to say, this is where we are, this is us right now, today on the timeline. Now, you on this timeline draw eternal life. Most of us will draw an arrow from that dot to the right, put a big arrow on the end to signify on and on and on and say, there it is, eternal life from today all the way to the right, the future. Well, okay, I would say that's half of eternal life. What? Yeah, because at that dot, which symbolizes today on that timeline or the day that you got saved on that timeline, you not only have to draw an arrow to the right with a big arrow, but you also have to draw an arrow to the left with a big arrow, because eternity also goes into the past. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, in verse 14. God had an eternal past, an eternal existence comprised of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity there. So eternity goes that way as much as it goes the other way, to the right, for the future. We have eternity past, we have eternity future, and God has always been there. The Lord Jesus has always been in eternity past, eternity future. Now, if we are indeed one with Christ in eternal life, we not only are getting in on the eternity that is to come, but in the mysterious ways of God and our oneness with him, when he is us, us and him, we're also getting in unto eternity past. Whoa! This is phenomenal. Let me give you a simple illustration. If you were to take a glass of water, and it has a very finite existence, that water there, it's within the confines of your glass. It doesn't go outside the glass. It doesn't go, pour through the bottom. It can pour through the top if you want to drink it. Yeah, you can do that. But let's just zero in on the reality of this water, this minimal amount of water in the glass that you have in your hand. Well, what happens if you get on a boat, you go out to sea, and you take that glass of water and you pour that water into the ocean? Now what happens? Well, it becomes one with the ocean, and it has a vast new existence in depth and breadth all around the world. That's what it is for us to enter eternity. We are kind of like this little glass of water, this droplet even. And when we come one with Christ, Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, in spirit, has existed from eternity past and eternity future. We become one with him. Guess what? We've just gone into the sea of the Lord Jesus himself, and we enter into eternity past, eternity future, eternity now, in an instant. Now, experientially, it is our spirit, when we get saved and becomes connected with the Lord, that we get access to all of that eternity today while on earth through our spirit. But there will be a day when our temporary issued earth suit or body will cease to exist, and we'll get a new body. And with that new body and soul and the spirit that's already alive, now we'll have an eternity existence in what we call the afterlife, which is in reality the eternal life, both past and future. My friends, are you getting this? Our fruitful oneness in Christ. We are one with Him from death to life. He's in the resurrection business. We're going to see more about this a little later. But we were dead, dead, dead. Now we're alive in Christ. And number two, we are one with Christ in eternal life. And I'm telling you, when you are feeling overwhelmed by the things of this world, by the responsibilities, by the frustrations, by the trials, by the tribulations, by the grief, let your spirit connect more and more deeply with the Spirit of God and get that sense of the bigger picture, the eternal picture, and recognize that this world, this existence is but a tiny, tiny, tiny drop in the bucket, as we are a tiny, tiny drop in Christ Himself. But in our oneness with Him, He will assure us at our deepest core, I've got this. I'm the eternal one, eternity past, eternity future. I've got these little things in this tiny moment of time that you're living in because I love you and we are one. Wow. Well, Lord, we receive that. Thank you for being that kind of God for us, with us, and in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Be sure and check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with the Lord, our fruitful oneness.